You know, as growing up in South Florida and Melbourne, Florida, it was just a joy for me looking back now. Now I see some things and understand some things that I was seeing back then. To watch my dad, who was raised up in the coal fields of Big Stone Gap, you know, breathing coal dust, working the hoot owl shift, and getting tired of breathing the coal dust. And he heard about a gas station that was for sale in Melbourne, Florida. Just a Standard Oil gas station, a few pumps in it. And so he moved down there and started changing, you know, changing tires and pumping gas. And but one thing about my dad, looking back, I think he barely finished high school, didn't have much education, but he's one of those guys that operated with a level of excellence down in the depths of his heart. And really taught me a lot. And, you know, it was a blessing to see him step from a gas station to step into a really successful chain of convenience stores down in South Florida. And just looking back on that, I'm going, wow, God, that is so truly you giving the power to make wealth and somebody stepping into it and riding the wave of it. And looking back on it, you know, sure, Dad busted his butt. But there were so many turns in it that it was only God that could do it. And I don't have time to get into the details of how that happens. But today we're talking about continuing part two with the God of abundance. And this Sunday we're talking about the power to make wealth, which comes out of Deuteronomy 8:18, where God is inviting us to participate with him. Now, before I go on, I want to make a commercial. I want to, you know, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day that every time I'd preach, that I really emphasized that if there was a question, to raise your hand and let's ask it. Because this subject that we're talking about is going to push buttons in all of us. It's already been pushing buttons in me. But also, it's very, very important for this to be clear. There's many different angles from it. And so one person speaking from one particular angle can't, you know, it's hard to get truth about. But really what I've discovered is people ask questions. It's really cool to see God bring truth out. So feel free, if you've got a question, raise your hand. Just give me the freedom to say, I don't know. Okay? And also, if you challenge anything I say, let it be word. Because our opinions don't matter. Only what God's word says matters. So that's why everything that I say. Also, I want to put this commercial in there. If any of you do not have the notes from last week, there's some out on the front. And if you do not have them now, everybody have notes this morning? Tulio's making more copies? Okay. Here, George. Come here. You got one? You need a copy? Oh, you got one? Okay. All right. I'll give you mine. So, the power to make wealth. It's a crazy concept, a crazy thought. Let's go and look at some passage of scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, where this is a passage of scripture that God's speaking to the children of Israel in the midst of the wilderness. They're teaching about coming out of the wilderness. And one of the reasons why we are led into wildernesses for this very reason. And notice what it says, but you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who has given you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. It's like I shared last week, we have a God who is a God of abundance. He does more than enough. Like when he fed the 5,000, everybody was satisfied and there's 12 baskets left over. That is his heart. He's exceedingly able to do above anything that we could ask or think. He says, out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You know, he says, you know, in the presence of the Lord is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forever. God abundance. The thing is that we live in a world that tries to put constraints on everything, even our God within our hearts. And God don't fit boxes. He don't fit boxes. He is the God of abundance. You say, well, that's an Old Testament passage of Scripture. Well, look at 2 Corinthians 8:9, where it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for though he was rich in heaven, For our sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Just say this with me. I am rich. Now, some of you may have a hard time with that. But it's truth. It is truth. And so, catch the revelation and the reality, the power to make wealth. God's destiny for us is to walk as rich sons and daughters. And I'll talk a little bit more why that is so important in this. Go to the next slide. So when I talk about the power to make wealth, one thing it's not is the pursuit to make money. Notice this passage of scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. But those who want to get rich fall into temptation. I can't tell you how many guys standing right here have come up to me, college students come up and say, oh, Rick, man, yeah, I mean, I know your business stuff like that. Yeah, I really, my goal is to make, you know, go into business, make $1 million, and then go into ministry. I go, bro, you cooked. You're just dead meat. You set out to get rich, you will fall into temptation. And notice what it says, snare of many foolish, harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction, for the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. Notice this, some by longing for it have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pains or griefs. So when I talk about the power to make wealth, it's not to pursue money. So what a good question to ask is, when we the Word of God says wealth, what does it mean? Well, let's look at this next slide. And I could go into details about all of these, but there's literally what I see in the Word of God, at least 8 different things which is referred to as wealth in Scripture. Relationships, y'all, is one of the first and foremost things that I see in Scripture as wealth. Proverbs 31:10, an excellent wife, who can find? Her worth is what? Far above jewels. Yeah, Pat and I. Here, Robbie.
Amen.
If you need a handout, raise your hand. Tulio's running around. Relationships. Financial resources. Yeah, y'all, financial resources is a form of wealth in Scripture. I mean, 2 Corinthians 8:9, that's talking about resources. Time. You better think about time as a wealth. You find somebody that's on the latter stages of their life and how time is so critical for them. How it comes down to seconds sometimes that people are cherishing their physical body. Right, Burby? Gifts, ministries, faith. Your faith, y'all. Your faith being more precious than what? Than gold. How about this one? Words. By your words, you'll be justified, and by your words, you'll be condemned. You'll give account for every idle word on the day of judgment. Your words are wealth. Your words determine the very destiny of your life. That's wealth. Invest wisely. The gospel of Jesus Christ. My God shall supply all your needs according to his what? His riches in glory. All of this is wealth to us. And God says, I'm giving you the power to make it, to make wealth. I mean, just pick one of them, the power to make relationships profitable. I'm not saying profitable like to use, but to bring life for the age to come. You know where it talks about laying up for treasure for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust that's not corrupt? You know what that's all about? That's all about sowing into relationships. It's kairos moments with individuals that are laid up in treasures in heaven. Kairos moments, memorable moments. With every person, last week, 2 weeks ago with the interns, I had them go across the room and I go across and pick out kairos moments that were they had with people's lives that were they had these Kairos moments that set people's lives in different motions. And it was so cool to hear their testimonies. Some of them had Kairos moments that total lives were totally altered, which was so cool. Those are treasures. That's wealth. That is wealth. And so anyway, but let me give you some examples of being rich, taking wealth and what the scriptures say somebody is rich. How about this one? Go to the next slide. In James chapter 2, verse 1, listen, my beloved, did not God choose the poor of the world to become what? Rich in faith. To be rich in faith. Oops, go back one, or wherever that was, forward one. Not back that way, forward back way. There it is. Forward back, sorry. You know, that's yes and no, right, Tom? So, the poor, to be rich in faith. Go to the next slide. Notice this one in 1 Timothy 6:17. Instruct those who are rich in this present world. There's a form of rich, you know, rich in this present world, not to be conceited or fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. But instruct them to do good, to be rich in, interesting, good works. There's a form of wealth. Because you realize this, that is your very destiny. It's very interesting. All those eight resources that I saw before are there to generate good works. Now remember, anytime I say good works, that's got to do with Kairos moments with individuals, with people. Don't think of it as anything other than that. It's got to do with things with people. Like BJ and Tara. They're here today, which is so cool to see them here. Ain't that cool? We love them. I told them, man, I love the beach. I told them we could put some sand out at Little Stony Creek and they can move back. But as I look at BJ, my mind just flooded with times where he and I, in the midst of our relationship with Tara also, there's these Kairos moments that can never be taken from us. That really literally had effects in our lives, that in all three of our lives or four of our lives, that directions. You know, and those are treasures. That's wealth. And God says, I give you the power to make wealth. And so anyway, so let's go on to the next step and talk about what the power to make wealth. Now, I just want to put a disclaimer, not a disclaimer, but a little commercial in here. Yeah, because the problem is that many times when people think about being wealthy and being rich, the first thing that pops up are what? Dollar signs. But I want to say this, that doesn't rule that out also. Okay? Because while we're about to take this step, is that the power to make wealth is not an ability. It's a person. It's our God. He is our wealth. And notice what it says in 1 Chronicles 29:12. For both riches and honor come from you. Now let me just pause here a second. There are two ways to be wealthy and rich. There is to be rich in the world. And Satan did this with Jesus, where he took him to a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world moment in time. And he says, I'll give it to you, for it has been handed over to me. You can be wealthy and rich according to the world's ways. I've discovered that in business. You know, it's very easy to be rich in the world's ways. I say easy, but it can happen. But it always comes, it always has a barb. It always will come up short in something. But with God, his heart is that when you're rich with him, what does it say in Psalms 1:3? That you may prosper in every respect. How about 3 John 3:5, 3:5, 3:3, where I pray that you may prosper and be in good health in every respect. I prosper in every respect and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. That's the heart of your Father. And notice this, both riches and honor come from him. Now there's riches in the world. But when we're talking about true riches, the things of God, it's him. He is riches. And let me tell you something. Well, we'll say in a second. Look at this one. Because why? It's because when you come into the land, when you come into that place of destiny which God has for you, is it where it says, I'm sorry, go back to that next one, I'm sorry. It says, otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and strength has made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who is giving it to you. What is He meaning? He is giving it to you. When you're operating in the power to make wealth, that Him, it is Him, that's all your dependency is. Go to the next slide. Let me show you some situations in the Old Testament, like with Obed-Edom. When the Ark of the Covenant, when David tried to bring the Ark of the Covenant in, and all of a sudden, he didn't bring in and handle the wealth of God's presence in an order, he caused some serious issues. David got scared, got mad, and he shipped it off to Obed-Edom, this dude. Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom was this dude who was a faithful guy. He was a gatekeeper in the house of God. Faithful guy. He was a gatekeeper later on. But this guy, being faithful man, took the Ark of the Covenant and treasured it. And guess what happens? The Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And all of a sudden, David hears about the Ark of the Covenant. And wherever God's going, he knows that God's blessing. And David goes, oh, bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He said, he realized where God's presence is, there is blessing. Notice this, I love this with Joseph. The chief jailer did not, Jacob. Jacob said to him, Lord has blessed me on your account. Y'all, that is God's heart. I just want to say this, that we operate, and we'll talk about it next week a lot, because when we talk about the power to make wealth from a different angle. But one of the passions for me is that the world would say, you got to work for me. Because when you're working for me, I'm blessed. Or in restaurants, the waitresses long for Christians to come in there because they know when a Christian comes in there, they'll be blessed. That's why if any time I'm in a restaurant and I start mentioning the name of Jesus, I tithe almost double or triple. Tip. Yeah, that's right, whatever it is. Well, you consider it that. Because why? Because you want, just in this place that you're sowing, and that they're going, that's one of those Jesus people? Dude, I want one of them because the Lord will bless them. That's what happens when we walk in the power to make wealth. Now, I love this one. Joseph, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge. Because I want to say this, put a paraphrase, because he was a man of excellence. And we'll talk about that next week. But he did not supervise it because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Now, don't take a passive approach on this. And that's, sort of like my wife. She's one of those people that it's literally, you watch her, she operates as a place of excellence. You put her over something, and it's going to change. It'll change in a positive manner. She's been dealing with me for 30 years. And I've changed a bunch. How are you saying amen?
Change, you've been transformed. We appreciate that.
How about this one, y'all? It's claimed Psalm 1:3. This is for us. That it'll be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. Whatever he does, he prospers. I was meeting with Jared Hill early in the morning, and on the way there, I was meditating on this stuff. And I was going, okay, Lord, I just started studying thin. Okay, what's going on in my life? Okay, there's Kairos, there's Amish Furniture, there's Sizemore Corporation in Florida, there's Sizemore Corporation of Virginia, there's 214, there's the internship program, there's DP. And I'm going, okay, Lord, your desire is that whatever I do, what? Dealing Jesus prospers. Whatever I do prospers. God, I don't see every area that in my life right there prospering. And I sort of heard the gentle thing of the Lord going, you're right. Because not everything in you is operating in me. And I don't say that to condemn, because that's the cool thing with our God. Because when he says that, it's just sticking a mirror in front of your face and just real bill, and you got a booger hanging on your nose before you go out of the before you go outside, you know? You go, thank you, Jesus. You know, so sorry. Go to the next slide, please, Amy. So wherever God is, prospers. And here's what God spoke to me. He says, to the degree that the Lord is our wealth, is to the degree his wealth is released into our lives. And let me say that again. The degree that the Lord is our wealth is the measure or degree that his wealth is released into our lives. Because God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. According to, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the results is what? All these things will be added to you. You know, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that is at work within you. According to the power that is at work, not the power that is in you, the power that is at work within you, or the resources of God that are work in you. How much is at work in my life is Rick Sizemore, and how much at work in my life is God? It's a big difference. Because wherever God's at and wherever God's operating will prosper. In some way, shape, or form, it will be blessed. It will have an effect in some way, shape, or form. So anyway, go to the next slide, please. So anyway, the power to make wealth is released. This is what God was showing me. He says, okay, Lord, wherever you go, where you are our wealth. You are it, Lord. And Kim Bonner and I were talking about this last night. He says, Rick, give me an example of this. Okay, well, Rick, how does God it? Excuse me for mentioning this. There's a few of us in there that are involved in this business called Kairos Wilderness Resort. It's 1,500 acres out in the very south end of Giles County. We did not enter into that to make money. We went in and did it. First thing was because God told us to do it. But we went into that believing that whatever we did would to create, the vision statement is Kairos, is to create a family-friendly atmosphere where people can experience positive, memorable moments in the midst of God's creation. Everything we did has been in that situation. We've been working like our butts off for over a year and a half on that thing before we reopened. And even in every day that we worked, the goal was that every relationship, every moment with each other working on that property was an opportunity to sow into each other. And we got cataloged, my mind has got cataloged of Kairos moments. And it's kind of cool, you know, we're still in a place of development. We just opened up in July. But it's kind of cool what God's doing and how some crazy things are happening. We just out of the blue the other day, we got a phone call from some people in the county said, Congressman Morgan Griffith and the area delegate, Joseph Yost, they want to come to Kairos. They want to come and see what you got going on. Well, okay. It's favor of the Lord. And so, you know, I mean, so, but in it, y'all, the whole goal is Jesus. Because your conviction is you operate in who God is, profit will take care of itself. It's not seek ye first to make profit, seek ye first the what? Kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to it. Jim and I are in business together, and Jim and Jean and Paul and I are in this business together. And Amish Furniture Store, our heart in doing that business will influence Pembroke. in a gym. I mean, we sat there just believing that there would be people be employed to have major effect on that area. We're not buying it that it will be a blessing to us. Our buying it to be a blessing. Our heart is God. That's our heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will what? Be added to you. So the power to make wealth is released in your life and my life in glory and excellence. I want you to watch this past scripture with me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We're seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God has given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. There is nothing that you and I, in fact, he did this to me one time. He spoke this past scripture to me. I was crying out to God. I said, God, I got this situation I'm going to deal with. And he spoke to me this past scriptures. I've already given you everything that I need to give you to get victory in this situation. I'm going, where's it at, God? And this is what he spoke to me. My divine power has granted you everything pertaining to life and God. The same power, y'all, that raised Jesus from the dead, that's this divine power. Is in you and I, but it's manifested and released through the true knowledge of him. Now, the New American Standard translates this by, but literally in the Greek, I honestly believe, I don't know why they translate it by. If you got a Hebrew Greek key study Bible, there'll be a footnote and that should say to. But it's literally, he's called us to his glory and his excellence. Because what is sin? For all have sinned and fall short of the what? You're called to his glory, his excellence. So what is his glory? Well, anytime you see his glory, that's about who he is. So when you step into a particular area of your life, it's all about his glory. It's about who he is. You're stepping into him. And then we're declaring and teaching y'all that he is the God of abundance. Where he is, there is what? Abundance, where he is with no boxes, no constraints, there is abundance. Who he is, glory, excellence is what he does and how he does things. And y'all, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know all the sins that I got to confess. Totally. All I know is that I've been cataloging them. I got to start with my wife because too many things in my life are not excellent. And I'll be honest with you, there's too many things in dwelling place that are not excellent. Now, I know that's a word that gets diluted, and we'll talk about it next week because some things is sort of like the Emingo Montoya statement. You know, I do not think this means what you think it means. You know, like Kim was telling me, you know, we were talking about it last night, excellence. You know what excellence is to me? Is one of the first things excellence is in me. God spoke to me about excellence. He said, your preaching has not been in excellence. It's not been excellence. Your mouth runs too much, paraphrased. You talk too long. You need to narrow things down, speak things clear. How I preach, that's got to do with excellence. Many different things. And we'll talk about that next week. We're going to talk about next week about excellence, but today we're talking about God's glory, who God is. And what we want to do is step into situations with the reality of who God is. But I will warn you this. It says, the Lord says, and he's spoken this to me, he says, let the fear of the Lord God be on you, because the Lord your God will take no part in unrighteousness, partiality, or taking of a bribe. When he steps into places, they're right and true, full of love, full of compassion. And he judges the thoughts and intentions of the heart. He will not empower flesh. He will not bless flesh. Because many times we operate in things that are not excellent. And if he would pour himself into something, y'all, he would be blessing our flesh. And his heart is for us to step in as sons and daughters. And that's why many times he steps back. I'll be honest with you. That's why I believe with all my heart right now why the finances in DP were suffering. Is because guess what? God's not going to bless some things until there's some excellent that rises up. That's not a condemnation thing. That's not him. That's a loving father saying that I want you to grow up as sons and daughters. And that's his call for us. Who he is, the glory. He's called us to his glory. Go to the next slide, please. Because to whom God will to make known what are the what? Riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, hope of glory. Him in you. Him in you. And I just want to declare this over you. He is in you wherever you go. The God of abundance is present. Let's let him be him. I'm believing for testimonies in this place. The crazy abundance realities of God. Abundance in relationships. Abundance in time. Abundance in finances. Whatever it is, you step into it with let God be God. The who. God's called us to his glory. But there are hindrances that water down the reality of his glory in us. And it's two opposite ends deities. The spirit of mammon and the spirit of poverty. And the church of Jesus Christ. His bride is stained with both. And notice this. You can go to the next slide, please. Because our God is a God of abundance. Go to the next one, please. Because Jesus says no one can serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other. He will be devoted to the one and despise the other. For you cannot serve God and wealth. Here, New American Standard is translating wealth. But the Greek word is mammon. And the word mammon is an Aramaic word. Mammon was the Assyrian god of money. So what you do anytime in point in time that you worship or literally go to the next slide, how you do is you get focused on either serving money or loving money. You're worshiping and serving and loving the god of mammon. Mammon, the god of money. It's a deity. That's why Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. And so, you know, the question is, are there areas in our hearts attached to money? You know, I never thought I had the problem with the love of money. I never thought I did until all of a sudden I had a whole bunch of money. Or I had the opportunity to have a whole bunch of money. And let me tell you something, y'all. All of a sudden, I started stuff pop up in me. I'm going, whoa, where'd this come from? That's not pretty. And don't you sit there going, I don't have a problem with love money. let me do this. Let me do something. I heard another minister do this, and it really touched my heart. Why don't you go to the next slide? Watch this. I just changed some passages of Scripture. Money is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is that the place where you don't want? Is that where you have money? Money makes me lie down in green pastures. Is that when you can rest, y'all? When you can say you got plenty of money? Money restores my soul. I heard this somebody say, well, I'd like to try that one. If I have money, who can be against me? Money makes me complete. In Christ, I am complete. He who has money enters its rest. He who believes enters his rest. Money shall supply all my needs. Money richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Now, let me ask you a question. Can you literally say that about all those passages of Scripture when you have zero money? If you cannot, then there's areas in your heart that are attached to the god of mammon. And that's all of a sudden I'm going, okay, God. How you can tell that God is your God? You have joy and peace in the midst of adversity. Count it all joy when you encounter various trials. When you have no money, that's when this becomes reality. You know, when God's calling me to speak this and preach this, it's when Paul and I have no money. That takes faith. Just being faithful. Go to the next slide. How about poverty? A little where it says, I passed by the field of the sluggard and by the vineyard and the man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles, and its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone was wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it. I looked and received instructions. A little sleep, a little slumber, and a little folding of hands to rest. And poverty will come as a robber. Poverty will come. Y'all, that is a spirit. Poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. You know what that's got to do? Passivity. Lack, not operating in levels of excellence. Just, well, you know, we just sort of take the shortcut approach. You're walking in the church. You see a piece of paper. Do you just walk by it? Do you, in whatever you do, like it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, whatever you do, do it as unto the name of the Lord, knowing that it's from Him that you'll receive a reward. You know, Jim was in contractor. And what really blessed me about Jim is wherever he'd go and whatever he would do would be in the levels of excellence. I mean, when he worked on my house, everything, there wasn't cut corners. It wasn't when, you know, when the places and things were not seen where he cut corners. It's in the places that's not seen where you can really tell the wealth of a contractor. That's because the places of compromise, a little sleep, a little slumber, that's the spirit of poverty. You got on one side, we've got the spirit of mammon trying to steal from us from the glory of God. On the other side, we've got the spirit of poverty trying to, let me just say this to y'all. Have you settled for lack? Have you settled for it? Well, that's just the way it's going to be. No, don't settle for that. Don't settle for it. That's one thing I really bless God for my dad. He would not settle for anything but the fullness of what he believed he was to step into. Now, he didn't chase wealth. He could be content in whatever circumstance in, but the reality was is that he was not going to settle for just breathing coal dust. And there's nothing wrong with breathing coal dust and working in coal mines. But he knew that there was something else for him. And that's the reality of what God has for us. Is that whatever it is God's called you into. What was the guy's name that used to work it down at Golden? It wasn't Golden Corral before. Harry. Y'all remember Harry? God graced us with Harry coming to this church. Harry, what? Harry Hopcroft. Faithfully, he would go down to, Ryan's Steakhouse at that time and wash dishes. Faithfully. That was what he did. But whatever he did, he was proud of washing those dishes. And that was his thing, man. And he was a blessing to talk to. And he did it with all, you could tell it, especially when God started doing some stuff in Harry's life. Whatever he's doing it with all his heart. So God has called us into this place to participate with him, to power to make wealth. And it's in two places. One, God's called us into his glory. In the reality of him, when you step into things, step into those things in the name of the Lord. Not in the name, not in your name, but in the name of the Lord. But if you step it into it with the name of the Lord, let me warn you, operate with excellence. And that's what, we'll talk about next week, how to operate in this level of excellence that it releases the wealth and resources of God in our lives. So what I want to do this morning is, y'all, I know it's happened real quick, and I've been meditating on this stuff for, I'd just be honest with you, pretty close to 24 hours a day. I go to bed at night, and I wake up in the morning meditating on these truths and going, okay, God. So, I know I just dumped a whole bunch on you right here, right now, but I just really want to ask you if there's some places in your heart that need to repent of from serving or falling in love with mammon, not knowingly, like money shall supply all my needs. Just being real, do you believe that God will supply all your needs? If not, your heart is given way to the love of money. Or have you been just going, well, whatever in my life, and just doing whatever, not operating with the level of excellence that God's called you to? And we'll talk about literally the precise definition of excellence next week. For me, looking at Tom Burby's excellent. That's me. I mean that. I'm not kidding around. Called him last night, called him yesterday afternoon. He said, what are you doing, Tom? Well, what was it you were doing? What were you doing? What were you doing? What were you doing?
I was making some marinade.
Yeah, he's making his marinade. What if Paul says, we couldn't make me supper? What? Peanut butter? You want grape or jelly? Grape or strawberry? But, so anyway, any of y'all want to add something? Let's, Rob, you got some? Can I get the prayer teams up, please?
As Rick shared about Harry, what I was reminded of is that Harry left a trailer where two families were able to start and move on. He didn't put that up out there to show off. But you talked about his diligence and his excellence and his attitude. But he left an inheritance in this body that helped two other families to build forward.
Yeah. Yeah, Harry went on to be with Jesus. It's really cool to me. This body's filled with men and women of excellence, Jeff Chandler, man of excellence. BJ. Yeah.
There's an old proverb that says, money won't buy happiness, but everybody wants to find out for themselves.
But here's the reality. You don't want to. You don't want to.
Amen.
I've been there, done that. Don't want that. So I just want to pray, and I'm going to lead us in a prayer. You don't have to repeat after me, but if you come in agreement with it, just pray it in your heart to God. And then if at the end of when I get through praying, you want to come up and have these brothers and sisters pray with you. And I just want to ask you this, to agree with us, y'all, that the fruition, the fullness of these words will come to pass, because I believe this. If this can come to pass, families and destinies and lives will be changed. People's lives where they've been struggling are going to no longer, they're going to be blessed. I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. So Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time. I thank you for the awesomeness of who you are. You're a good God. Lord, sometimes you are just beyond words and beyond thoughts that can imagine how awesome you are. Lord, when your word says you have cattle on 1,000 hills or whatever it is, on hills of 10,000 cattle, I don't know, but Lord, it was a bunch. You got a bunch, God. You're the God of abundance. And Lord, we just want to come into that place and confess that it is Christ in you, in us, God, the riches of your glory in us. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And Lord, I heard a person say that in a vision of heaven, they saw this room with all these unclaimed blessings and promises. And Lord God, we want to lay claim to everything that's ours. Lord, we want all that who you are given to us as a loving Father. You're fathering us into your glory and into your excellence. So Heavenly Father, I pray right now, I ask you to forgive me, forgive us for the areas that where we have put our confidence in the God of Mammon, in dollars, and how many dollars are in our bank account. And Lord, that's no excuse for slothfulness and lack of good accounting practices and a lot of excellent financial management. Lord, I say that. But Lord, I'm talking about the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. Lord, that where we put our confidence and our faith in money. But Lord, we declare that it is you who supply all our needs. You are our shepherd, we shall not want. Lord, you're the one who makes us lie down in green pastures. You're the one who restores our soul. You are the one, Lord. And you're just waiting on high to have compassion on us. You're longing to be gracious to us. Lord, you're wanting as a loving Father to display all your goodness into our lives. And so, Father, also forgive us for the areas of poverty. Lord, where we've been lax and passive, asleep and slumber and folding of the hands and just say, okay, whatever. Instead of doing the extra effort to make things right, order things right, your word says, he who orders his way aright will behold your salvation. So, Lord God, we just come and I just forgive us, Lord, for these areas. And, Lord, I break off of this body in the name of Jesus, areas of the love of the money and the spirit of poverty, God. I break off of us poverty in the name of Jesus. I declare over us blessing. In the name of Jesus, God, let it be that the world looks and sees. We've got to know that what you have is blessed. Lord, I thank you that through 2011, Lord, every year we had double-digit growth. And God, we just claim that that would be returned in Jesus' name. Jesus. Oh, God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Let's invite you, we close shop, to come up and feel free to pray and agree with you individualized.
Amen. Let's just stand and just declare. Can we just sing that? Just want to sing faithful. God is faithful just over this word, over this declaration. So let's just stand and sing this with Robbie. Yeah, so Lord, we just declare that in closing and just declaring a final, even just a yes and amen over this word, Lord. God, just teach us in this upcoming days, this week, God, just teach us this place of your glory and your excellence, Lord, because there's facets of just entering into all of who you are. Lord, just I thank you that if we seek you first, Lord, you'll add all these things unto us. So, Lord, give us wisdom. Give us revelation into this word this week for every one of us, God, that we will just meditate on this. We'll eat of the fruit of it. And, Lord, really just come back, Lord, just with this declaration of your fruitfulness in our lives. And so, Lord, we thank you. We bless you. We honor you. And we just go forth in this word in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just encourage, if you need prayer this morning, come up and grab somebody. They'll pray for you. Healing, physical healing, restoration of relationship, any of these resources that Rick talked about, come get prayer this morning. Amen.